This evening we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Deacon Teji Abraham. Tamatin is a graduate of St. Vladimir's Orthodox Theological Seminary, and he also just recently completed the six-month liturgical training course at the Orthodox Theological Seminary in Kotel and has returned to America as of this month. We welcome Tamatin back to the States, and we invite him to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Thank you. Christ is risen, indeed he is risen. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16, verses 20 to 24. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 16, verses 20 to 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, her joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of me, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It has been nearly 4 weeks now since Easter, and we are in the season of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in these past few weeks, we have been in a mood of celebration, that we are no longer in sadness, rather we are overjoyed at the resurrection of our Lord. And so now, after these few weeks, it is a good time for us to evaluate ourselves, to look back and wonder, have we fallen back into old habits? Are we any different now that we have gone through the journey of Lent, that we are now on the other side, the side of the resurrection? Has this journey changed us? Lent is a struggle, and we struggle, many of us, in our own ways during Lent. But now, this time, the season of resurrection has its own struggles. During Lent, we can shrug off certain behaviors. We can shrug off going to parties, alcohol, and all other sorts of behaviors that take us away from the spirit of Lent. We justify by saying it's Lent. Of course, I can't do any of these things. I'm not supposed to. But what about after Lent? The problem arises in how to say no to the world once Lent is over, and now that we are in this celebratory mood following Easter. This is also where there is a great struggle. The need to keep our minds, bodies, and souls pure is greater during this time than during Lent. Because during this period of celebration, during this period of joyousness, our guard is down. During Lent, many of us are quite aware of the need for repentance, are quite aware of Christ's suffering. And so we have our guards up. We avoid certain situations. We avoid certain behaviors. And we continually focus on repentance and reunion with God and the upcoming passion and resurrection of Christ. But afterwards, what happens? Afterwards, our guard is down. And many times we return to the behaviors and the situations that we would go through before Lent. And then we must ask ourselves the question, has the Lent changed us? During this period of celebration, we must remember that we should still say no to the world. James, the Epistle of St. James, chapter 4, verse 4, says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." The epistle is quite clear that there is no gray area, that there is no way to keep a foot in both worlds. We must either say no to this world and accept God, or that we must say, or that we will end up saying no to God and be a friend of this world. What are the different ways that we can say no to the world? Oftentimes it comes with just our behavior. Many times it means saying no to certain things that we'd rather do. Certain social events that we may want to go to on Saturday night when we know we should be at home preparing for Korbana. Other times it is just our mere presence in the lives of all those around us. That we ourselves become the presence of Christ to all those around us. What often happens to us when we do say no to the world? And Christ is very clear that those who reject this world, those who are not of this world, will often be rejected by the world itself. And if we are to be the presence of Christ to all those around us, if the world rejected Christ, they will certainly reject us. That is a struggle. That is a struggle in itself. Because many times we want to be a part of this world. And many times we're tied to this world through our friends, our social interactions, and even through our families. And many of them don't understand why we would reject the world for some pie-in-the-sky dream. Saying no to the world is tough. But in lieu of doing that, do we ever say no to God? We must ask ourselves that question, how often have I said yes to the world and no to God? And sometimes it's quite clear and quite obvious when we've done so, but many times it's quite subtle. We don't realize that that's what we have been doing. We don't realize it because our guard is down, that we're not thinking about our actions and our choices that we make post-Lent. Being in the world and trying not to be influenced by its negativity is a painful struggle. And in fact, in the gospel passage that I was just read, Christ gives the example of the pains of childbirth. And we're made to recall that childbirth became such a painful experience for the woman after humanity's fall from the garden. That after we had left paradise, childbirth had become much painful. But he explains, though, that even though it is such a painful experience, that once the child is born, the mother forgets the pain. When she looks at the baby that is in her hands, in her arms, all the pain that she went through is a memory, and a distant memory sometimes. That is clearly the example that Christ wants us to be encouraged by, that though we struggle and we try to say no to this world, that saying no to it and struggling as we do will eventually give us something greater later on. That we just have to be diligent and persevere through the pain. I'm reminded of a story that I once heard many, many years ago. And the story is, a man is walking through some woods and he happens to see a cocoon on the ground. And in the cocoon, he notices that a butterfly is trying to break free of the cocoon. Having compassion on the butterfly, he picks up the cocoon and very gently opens the cocoon to let the butterfly free. And in his hand, he looks at this glorious and beautiful butterfly. And then he decides, I'm going to let it go. Be free. And he lets the butterfly go. He throws it in the air. And unfortunately, the butterfly begins to flap its wings but cannot sustain flight. In fact, it drops straight to the ground. What he did not realize is, though he had compassion on the butterfly and decided to let it free from the cocoon, the struggle of breaking free of the cocoon helps the butterfly to develop wing strength, so that once it breaks free of the cocoon, it is able to fly on its own. But letting the butterfly out of the cocoon early, the man did not allow it to struggle and to become stronger because of it. Our church fathers are quite clear that suffering in this world is a type of baptism. That baptism, though, has many, many themes. One of the most important themes is death and resurrection. That we die to this world, that we are dead, and we rise again, a new creation. Christ showed us the way just a few short weeks ago with his passion and his resurrection. That though he suffered greatly, he resurrected anew, and he's showing us the way that we also will resurrect anew. The struggles that we go through to say no to this world are just the birth pains that will lead to a better, newer, and more fulfilling creation. Pray that in this season following Easter, the season of the resurrection of our Lord, that we are not bogged down by the struggles of this world, but rather we look ahead and see the things that are ahead of us, that are better, and the joy that we will experience in the kingdom of our Lord. All praise and thanksgiving be to the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks and blessings for his living words. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever. We believe.